Stay up to date on the green and gold all off season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee. Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, some more
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
The Bears look dead. The Vikings look dead. And so the division comes down to Detroit and Green Bay.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinic is available in Brookfield, Maguanago, and in Pewaukee. And it is faster, easier, and less expensive than the ER or urgent care. So if you find yourself with a sprain or a strain or a fracture or a laceration or a dislocation, you should see our friends over at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinic, because the physicians are fellowship trained. They are surgeons. They are non-surgical specialists. They can handle whatever you're going to throw at them. They offer physical therapy, MRI, and outpatient surgical procedures on site. There is a difference when you work with Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinics, and they bring us Adam Schefter each and every week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. I noticed that Chewy lost his tropical background. What happened to it? Is he out of paradise?
I'm heading back today. It's kind of like my golf game, Adam. You know, I used to play when it was 45, 50. Now it's got to be 65 or higher. So the temps here are a little chilly. I'm heading back for another 2 weeks.
So he's here with us in Wisconsin. Yeah.
It's like Groundhog Day. Chewy pokes his head.
Paradise is gone. Yeah. Paradise is gone. The hat's gone. It's like a new Chewy today. That's the first thing I noticed when I see you on the screen.
Back to work.
Adam, we noticed on the calendar that we are quickly approaching May 3rd. That is the date that the Packers can officially extend or give Jordan Love the big contract. What are you hearing about how those conversations are going?
Well, I think that there have just been some preliminary talks. I think both sides know that they'd like to work to get something done. I don't think it'd be a simple deal to get done, but I do think that at some point before the season begins, whether that's in July or August, I would think that they get some sort of extension done, and it starts with the number 5. That's my expectation. I just believe that's what it'll be, and they want to get it done. He wants to get it done. They all want to get it done, but you know what? It's like, we've been waiting for the Lions to get a deal done with Jared Goff, and here we are past the draft. And I remember speaking to people at the Combine about that, and they're like, yeah, that deal will be done, you know, I would say April 1, you know, talking to the Lions as the agent. And here we are in May 1, and there's no Jared Goff deal. So sometimes these things take longer than expected. But you'll remember last year, I believe it was May 3rd that the extension came down last year where they reworked that contract. I remember that day very well. That's a quick year. They both knew that this would be coming up upon them. And look, Jordan Love has done exactly what they wanted him to do. He looks like one of the better young quarterbacks in all of football, and he's going to be rewarded for it at some point this offseason. This is not going to be something that I don't think drags into the season. I don't think it's going to be acrimonious. It's just, he's going to want a lot of money, and they're going to want to pay him as little money possible, knowing that it's still going to be a lot of money. And where do they come in with that?
Adam, give me your thoughts on how Detroit did hosting the draft.
You know, it was, first of all, the largest turnout for any draft venue. Jen, you were in Nashville, I believe. Were you not?
I was not in Nashville. I was in Chicago.
You're not. You're in Chicago. Okay. Chicago, it just feels like this thing gets bigger and bigger every year. And the funny thing about it is, I remember being in Radio City Music Hall, and there was a year, the last year the NFL was there, where Radio City Music Hall leased out its building to the Rockettes, and the NFL couldn't do the draft there that year when they wanted it to. And that was like the last straw. Okay, we're going to take the show on the road, and see what it's like. So the Rockettes are really the reason that the NFL draft has turned into a traveling party. And it has found more and more success in each city it has gone to the point where in Detroit last week, there were, 750,000 fans that attended. And it's funny, my wife has never really watched the draft. And my daughter watched it this year because she wanted to see where J.J. McCarthy would go. So my wife was like, wait. People are just waiting around to hear the pick call? That's it? Like, what are these people there for? I'm like, that's what it is, right? Like, when they were first putting it on TV, I don't remember. I think it was the NFL that said, you know, ESPN's like, oh, we want to broadcast. It's like, what are you broadcasting? The picks. Like, reading the cards? That's what you're broadcasting. Yeah, that's what we're broadcasting. So when people are first exposed to this idea, I think it's new to them. But it's grown everywhere it's gone. The NFL has gotten to the point where I almost feel like it's rewarding the draft to places that it can't send the Super Bowl right now, like Green Bay, like Detroit. And Green Bay will host it next year. It'll probably be as big, if not bigger, than it was in Detroit because it just grows every year. More and more people come to it. I'm not sure where all these people are staying in Green Bay next year. That'll be a different discussion for another day, but the league will figure it out and we'll get it worked out. Maybe everybody's going to stay at Chewy's house there and we'll that's how it'll kind of work out.
Get some tents set up in the backyard.
Yeah.
We'll have a good time.
And it's turned into this part. Like, I want to bring up this one thing because it was just unbelievable. Like, everyone's doing events around it and it becomes a thing. About 6 weeks ago, Jerome Bettis, the great running back, Hall of Fame running back, who's from Detroit, he sent me a message. He's like, hey, I'm going to do this fundraiser for the Boys and Girls Club draft week. Could you do it? And I was like, do I want to do a draft? Draft week's not a great week for me. But I would never say no to Jerome Bettis, and it's a good cause. I'm like, sure, Jerome, when is it? Night before the draft. How long do you need? 2 hours. I'm like, oh, night before the draft, 2 hours. Oh, not like my phone's not going to be ringing at that time. You know? And so I said, sure, Jerome. And I said, could we limit it something? Like, can you shorten my time? Like, how about an hour? And he goes, okay. So I went last Wednesday to this theater that they had rented out for the Boys and Girls Club in Detroit to do this fundraiser. And they had me do a talk on stage with, and this was the amazing part. Like, Jamel Hill was the moderator. And then they had Aleem McNeil, the Lions defensive tackle, along with me and Jerome Bettis, Calvin Johnson, and Barry Sanders. Oh. Like, Detroit royalty. Mm-hmm. That's like showing up in Green Bay, right? And having Bart Starr, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, you know, the night before the draft do some kind of discussion. And it was unbelievable. And I can't believe, like, in my mind, like, it was even an issue. Jerome's thanking me for coming, and I'm thanking him for having me because it meant more to me than it meant to him.
So I was surprised that you think that they're going to get that many fans up in Green Bay next year just because Green Bay is a little tougher to get to than it is Detroit. Flying directly in can be tough. But do you think that a lot of people are going to look at it as, hey, this is a historic mm-hmm. place in the NFL. Let's go. This is our opportunity because it can be tough to get tickets to a Packer game.
Well, it may be the pilgrimage that everybody in the surrounding areas makes and they drive in that day. Like, that's, I'm sure, what the league is banking on. And, you know, what surprised me, you get to Saturday and it's rounds 4 through 7 and it's just picks and the players who are there are gone. And, you know, it's just not the hype and hoopla, although it still is very important to teams. And on Saturday, you know, the draft was packed. There were a lot of people in that area in Detroit. I don't know if there's going to be more than Detroit. I'm just saying, as a general rule, the draft seems to grow every year. And there are going to be people who want to go. Now, maybe in this particular case, I don't know. It's like I said, I don't know where everybody's staying in Green Bay that Thursday night, that Wednesday night, and night before. Maybe people are just driving in that day and they're driving back after, wherever they're driving to. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work. It's a different deal. You guys know better than me, to be perfectly frank.
Adam,
tell me, how do you think it's going to work?
I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people here in Milwaukee. I mean, plenty of hotels have kind of come up here even since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are enough hotel rooms that they're hosting the RNC here this year. So I think a lot of people are driving
right.
up and then staying between here, Fox Valley, maybe some places in Sheboygan because you have Destination Kohler there. And yeah, everybody's going to be driving up.
But we're just trying to figure out where they're going to have it, Adam, because obviously the stadium is not big enough. They can't fit enough people in there.
I expect them to do it right outside the stadium, like right outside Lambeau Field. Like that'll be the backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Here's the thing. They just set it up wherever. Like they did it in a park in Detroit. They did it on the steps of the Art Museum in Philadelphia. In Chicago, it was Grant Park. Like where's the – oh, it's this spot right here. It's going to be somewhere outside Lambeau Field. And again, I've been there probably 10 times, but you guys know it better than me. Is there a spot in front of Lambeau Field where they just build it out? I'm trying to think which side.
Well, I was saying the top of the stairs, it would be on the east side.
Yeah, on the Hudson
stairs you climb
side.
Up, put the stage up there, and everyone is down below, so they'd be looking up. But that's an area big enough where they could maybe support the same kind of crowd they had in Detroit.
Shut down Oneida and just have people spill all the way back to the Hudson Center.
That's my guess as to what it would be.
Yeah.
It'll be right outside Lambeau somewhere. That's how they'll do it. And they'll have Lambeau in the background. That'll be like the big backdrop, just like, you know, they build that. They create this. I mean, the whole thing is created. It's a made-for-TV event. You know, that's how it works.
Adam, we have been talking about what the other teams in the NFC North did in the draft. The Packers do not have a wide receiver one, but it appears like all of these other teams do. Obviously, the Bears have really bolstered their offense, hopefully to give Caleb Williams some weapons. Is that a mistake by the Packers? I know it worked last year, but you've got Justin Jefferson. You have all the things that the Bears have done. Like, do they need to have somebody emerge as a number one on their wide receiver crew this year in order to just kind of hold serve with the other teams in the division?
Well, first and foremost, I thought Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks in their first year played exceptionally well. Now, you may say, well, we're talking Justin Jefferson and Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. Well, Justin Jefferson is one of one. He's an elite wide receiver. And by the way, he's going to be paid like that this offseason, you know, with a contract, his own contract, that is north of $30 million a year, well north of $30 million a year. So they're not paying those guys that. But the guys they had last year made a lot of plays. They played exceptionally well. And by the way, that was during a year where Christian Watson battled injuries and people thought he could be the one and he wasn't healthy all year. And Romeo Doubs came on. Like they've got guys. And I don't know that you look at any one guy as the number one, but you look at all of them, the collection of talent that the Packers have at wide receiver, and you say this group can be competitive with just about any team. That's how I feel. And I feel like those guys in their second year will take a step. I'm counting on that. I think they're counting on that. These guys take a step, become that much better, and then the unit itself becomes that much better. So, no, they're not going to have a one. They're not going to have Justin Jefferson or Roma Dunze or Amon-Ra St. Brown, at least not apparently, but that doesn't preclude one of those guys from developing into a receiver like that.
Adam, we're starting to hear rumblings of an 18th game in the regular season.
Hold on. Let me cut you off right there. Let me cut you off right there, Chewy.
Okay.
Rumblings?
It was the commissioner saying to Pat McAfee.
The commissioner
to any open microphone he could.
Yeah, let me explain how this works, okay? When there are rumblings of a 17-game schedule, lo and behold, a few years later, what do we have? 17 games.
Well, these guys know I'm not big on reading, number one. So if I don't see it on video, I call it a rumbling.
Okay.
With that being said,
if
Adam,
we tell them about
do
it,
do they have to wait until the next CBA, or can this get done before that? Because the next CBA is 2030, right?
Yeah. Correct. And again, as we've come to learn, Chewy, the league does what the league wants to do. And so you can't just say, okay, next year we're going to have an 18-game schedule. No, that's not happening. But, I don't know, in another year or two or three, the league could say, hey, PA, NFL Players Association, we want to go to 18 games, and we're going to make it worth your while. We're going to give you this, or we're going to increase the revenue there, or do that, or whatever it may be to get to 18 games. And if they don't want to do that, then when they negotiate, when they open the negotiations for the new CBA in a couple of years, 2-3 years, maybe there are some expedited talks and they push for that 18-game schedule, because every time there's a new CBA, each side wants something. So I could just see where the NFL is going with all this right now, okay? They started at 16. We went to 17 games because there was initially talk of 18 games and people fought on that. So you know what? Let's just spread it out. We'll do it over time. We'll go to 17 first. It'll work. It'll be difficult. And then we'll get to 18. And you just can't do it all at once. It's a whole process. But now you package in international. Oh, I see where all this is going. International and 18 games and a delayed Super Bowl, so that the Super Bowl is the Sunday night before President's Day on Monday. And it's all tied together as all part of the master plan to have the NFL control the world. And the way this is going to work is the league is going to get an 18th game. I don't know when that's going to be, whether it's 2 years or 4 years or 6 years or 10 years. The league gets what it wants, because it just will. So there's going to be 18 games eventually. And that 18th game, in my mind, nobody's told me this, every team will have to play an international game. They've divvied up the properties of the world like it's a game of Monopoly. And every team has gotten rights to a certain area, whether it's Spain or Germany or Brazil or whatever it may be. Who do the Packers have the rights to? Where are they? What's their official?
Not Germany.
Brazil.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, the Packers are going to play a game internationally in Brazil or Germany every year, just like every team will. And then because everyone's playing an 18th game, that leads to the later season, which takes us to the takes us to the Sunday night Super Bowl before President's Day, which works out perfectly. So what is already a national holiday, an unofficial national holiday, becomes that much more so of an unofficial national holiday. So there's more regular season games, there's more international games, there's more revenue leading into, you can see where this is all going.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, Chewy, to get back to the question, rumblings. I can hear the rumblings coming. I can hear the rumblings coming from far away. It's rumbling.
He's hearing the footsteps.
Tumbling. Yep.
Adam, you've been around the league for, a year or two here, and we learned that Jacob Monk, one of the Packers draft picks, has a cold water allergy. He breaks out in hives on his skin, found this out by sitting in a cold tub when he was a freshman at Duke. Have you heard of anybody else having this in your time in the NFL, or what are some of the other interesting ailments that maybe some draft prospects have had to deal with that you've heard of?
Well, I think I didn't realize it until now, but I think I have a cold water allergy. I don't like going in cold water, so maybe I'm allergic to that as well. I've never heard of that. And again, when you bring up things like that, there are always little things. We've had players and prospects go to the combine where they found irregular heartbeats. That's always troubling and concerning. I could think of A.D. Mitchell, the Texas wide receiver this year, who went to Indianapolis. He's a type 1 diabetic. My wife is type 1 diabetic. There are a few type 1 diabetic players in the league, like Mark Andrews and Blake Ferguson, the snapper in Miami, and Chad Muma, the linebacker in Jacksonville, and Noah Gray, the tight end in Kansas City. And people said that part of the reason that A.D. Mitchell fell was because of the way he handled type 1 diabetes. I heard that. And again, as somebody who lives with a type 1 diabetic, that was interesting to me. Like, I don't understand how that is. I guess people handle it different ways, and he's got to get improve in the way he handles it. Everybody can improve in the way they handle that condition. It's a major condition. So there are all sorts of things, but I've never heard of what Jacob Monk deals with. And if that is indeed the case, I'm sure the Packers didn't go into this cold, and say, we're going to take this guy and see how this works out. I'm sure they figured it out, because if you have a cold water allergy, I'm guessing that Green Bay is not the place you want to go play.
Yeah, they said they weren't concerned, but did make the joke of, let's just make sure he doesn't go ice fishing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's probably wise.
Well, all men hate cold water because of shrinkage.
I like how you dropped it. Is that what it is? Like you were just...
Thought we were going to get that.
I'm right.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Adam, on that note.
I will say, I did not expect to wrap up today's little episode with the word shrinkage. So Chewy's big words of the day were rumblings and shrinkage. And there's rumblings that Chewy's shrinking. That's all I can say right now.
He was in the pool. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us, man. Always good stuff. Oh, have man. A great week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk next week.
See ya.
Your total experience.
You just can't be trusted.
I blame you. I don't know how, but this is somehow your fault.
It was in wild and wacky ways. Oh, man. It's kind of funny.
Your total experience at the Island Resort Casino. It includes 2 championship golf courses. Stay and play packages are now available, so book early, like right now, to guarantee your choice dates. For complete information, visit islandresortgolf.com today.